And it's time to say hello once again to our ethicist, Randy Cohen. When Randy's not busy writing the ethicist column in the New York Times Magazine, he's been known to stop by our studios and answer your questions. Hello again, Randy.
Hi, Steve.
Shall we go to our letter here?
Yes, please.
We've got a literary dilemma here from Kelly Chavis in Tulsa, Oklahoma, who writes as follows. A friend of mine gave me the manuscript of a book that she's been working on for 6 years. I have editorial experience, and I found it to be horrible. It was unreadable. The dialogue was unbelievable. The story was not well researched, and the plot was trite and cliché. The worst part is this friend does not want to submit it to a publisher. She's going to pay hard-earned money to an online service to have 5 copies published. If I tell her to save her money, it would break her heart, but if I do not tell her, and by some miracle she submits it to a real publisher, it will be in the wastebasket in 3 minutes flat. Everyone else who read it lied to her, but I just can't bring myself to do that. I wouldn't want anyone to lie to me about my writing. What should I do? Randy Cohen?
Ah, it's a terrible thing having to tell a friend something she won't want to hear. You know, does this book make me look fat? But friendship has its obligations. And I think the guideline is this, that you should be forthright when your friend can take some kind of action. And in this case, her friend could revise the book or even withdraw it. But you should be generous when there's nothing your friend can do. As if the book were already in print, I think you err on the side of praise. In this case, Kelly's friend gave her the book for her opinion, and she foolishly agreed to accept it, and she has to be candid now. She needn't assess its place in literary history, but she should try to say things that are useful, things that her friend can do to improve it. That's my guideline. And the other thing is always, always, always open with praise. Even if all you can think of is, you know, it's neatly typed or, you know, the paper smells so cinnamony, but that's a good place to start. And then try to say something useful.
Well, Kelly's on the line now, trapped on the telephone. Hi, Kelly.
Hello.
So what do you think of Randy's advice?
Well, it's good advice, except, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to tell her this and what type of setting I'm going to tell her, because I realize I have to tell her something very soon because she's been asking me about it and asking me, well, have you finished reading it? And honestly, I can't get beyond chapter 2. It's that bad.
What do you tell her when she asks you this?
Well, I told her, I'm still working on it.
Oh, God. Well, maybe it's not that bad toward the end. Maybe it picks up after a while.
I don't think so.
Oh, God. You know, one thing, you're right to consider the setting, and I find one where liquor is served generally helps.
She doesn't drink.
You know, this actually would make a
difference. She's a cunning woman. She has got you so boxed in, Kelly.
I know.
Utility is a pretty good guideline. If there's anything you can say, even in the first few pages, that where after she hears from you, she can actually get up the next morning and take some kind of action to improve it, you know, as opposed to throwing herself in front of a bus when she leaves the saloon. The more helpful, what she's really asking is for you to be helpful, not so much for you to compare this book to Nabokov.
Well, that's true, but she is so much emotionally invested in this that it will break her heart no matter what I tell her. If I tell her that, well, you have a nice typing job, but your story is cliche, it will still break
her heart. Oh, yeah, why would that hurt her feelings?
Or just something like, you know, I know you thought this story would work best as a 300-page novel, but I think it would be much better as a haiku. I think that...
You're so mean. You're so cold-hearted. I can tell you, at least speaking, I think this extends to all writers. I know it extends to me. All I want is praise. It's really true. I'm frail and vain and unsure, and what I really want to hear is praise. But what I'll settle for is someone who will help me make my work better, and if you can do that, then you can tell your jokes at her expense, you know, among your friends, but not where she can hear them.
Kelly, can I ask you one other question?
Yes.
You've had this very private dilemma, deciding whether or not to tell your friend what you really think.
Mm-hmm.
Does your friend listen to NPR?
She does not.
As far as you know?
I know she does not.
And none of her friends listen to NPR other than you?
That's right.
So we're having this discussion completely in private.
Yes.
You will still have this dilemma after this discussion.
I've often thought that about our segments, actually.
And do you know what you're going to do now, Kelly?
I'm probably going to tell her, but I won't want to, but I have to, so.
Well, good luck with that.
I completely sympathize. I recognize that giving bad news to a friend is always a terrible thing to do. And it's I have enormous respect for your sense of friendship that you're willing to undertake that very unpleasant task.
Kelly Chavis, a very brave and honorable person in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Kelly, thanks very much.
Thank you.
If you've got a question for the ethicist, Randy Cohen, just write to us at watc@npr.org. Put the word ethics in the subject line and be sure to include a phone number where we can reach you.